Welcome to Space Vidcast Live. My name is Benjamin Higginbotham. With me is the beautiful, wonderful, lovely, and talented Carrie Ann Higginbotham. We are the Space Vidcasters. And before we get started with today's show, we're going to be talking about Jupiter Direct, a continuation of yesterday's show. We wanted to thank a couple of people who have taken the time and effort and money to donate to Space Vidcast, helping us get to ISDC 2009. And that'd be Starbucks Diva, Corkspin, and Wolf Spirit. And their donations help bring us to ISDC 2009, as I said, which will allow us to broadcast and bring you guys some fantastic and awesome content from the show. And that's what we're all about. We figure we need to raise about $2,000. We've done a couple of things. In addition to the donations that Starbucks, Quark, and Wolf have given us, we've been selling off a lot of the gear here at the Higginbotham household to try to make that happen. And we're at about $600, $650 right now. So we need about $1,400 more, and every dollar helps. So if you've got a moment and you've got the time and you want to see ISDC 2009 streamed live, then of course we'll archive some of it. Go to spacevidcast.com. On the right-hand navigation bar near the top, there's a brand new tip joy. There's a new tip joy link. You can click on that and you can donate money. You can also use Twitter to donate money. There are instructions on tipjoy.com on how to do that,
which is actually kind of cool. And I know this kind of sounds bad, but it's a little bit of an ego thing, because then not only are you donating to a good cause that you would believe in, but then you're telling other people that you've donated, and other people see our name.
Yep. Right. So they see that and they're like, hey, what's going on? And maybe they'll donate.
Even if it is just
$5 helps, $10 helps.
Everything helps.
Every little bit helps.
We literally sold something for a dollar and something else for $2.10. It costs three times or four times that just to send it out to the person. Of course, they're paying for shipping, but blah, blah, blah. And we are, that is not below us at all.
Karen, who is that?
I don't know, because I can't read that from here.
That right there.
Yeah, that's Wolf Spirit.
Okay, so Wolf Spirit is the one who not only donated, but set up for is one of the Space Vidcast recurring payments, and that's actually the bottom of the Space Vidcast site. And you can see that by, if you go to Space Vidcast and scroll down to the bottom, I'll probably move that link up to the top, there's a donation section. So Wolf Spirit is a silver member of Space Vidcast right now, and that certainly helps us quite a bit. So thank you again to Wolf Spirit. One last housekeeping item that we mentioned yesterday, and that is Team Frednet will not be on this Friday morning show. Unfortunately, this Friday morning, Fred himself is planning on being sick. No.
Fred's like, yeah, I'm going to be
make
sick
the show.
In a week, so I can't make it. Sad.
No, unfortunately, Fred won't be able to make the show. We will reschedule Team Frednet, which is a very innovative Google Lunar X Prize team, for a future show. So this Friday show
They're
is a little bit up in
open
the air.
Source Google Lunar X Prize team, which is really incredible.
Yep. So we've been promoting that pretty hard, and now I'm unpromoting that pretty hard.
Well,
as
no,
it were.
We're not unpromoting it. We're just promoting it for a different day.
Yeah. Well, you know,
sometime
like
in
that.
The future,
someday
it shall happen.
Absolutely. All right. Our main topic today is Jupiter Direct, a continuation of yesterday's program, and it's kind of a competing program to Constellation. Jeff, can you tell us a little bit about what is Jupiter Direct? Jupiter is the rocket, and what is Direct?
Direct is basically a program designed by NASA engineers underground, so to speak. Basically done in secret. The concept was to come up with a better, safer, simpler, cheaper rocket that still had the same success rate, if not better, than the space shuttle.
Okay, so why didn't they go with Jupiter Direct? Why did they go with Constellation? Specifically the Ares rockets.
My personal opinion, and this is only my opinion, is because Mike Griffin insisted on seeing his pet project succeed. He had it in his head that Ares 1 was better, when the facts on paper prove otherwise, that it's not, because the massive downsizes that they've had to create for Orion.
So you're saying, in your opinion, Jupiter Direct is better than Constellation?
Oh, definitely, without question.
Okay, why? What makes it better? I mean, why is it that much better than, say, why is Jupiter better than Ares? Let's start there.
Jupiter is better than Ares because the specific goal was for them to use the same hardware and basically the same tooling that NASA had for the space shuttle. The same size boosters, the same size external tank, all the core components, the main engines, everything, to be identical to what the shuttle uses. It's proven technology, and it's reliable technology. We've had a success rate of over 99% with the boosters, and as you know, the shuttle-derived hardware, aside excluding the shuttle, all the components have had over a 99% success rate.
Wow. Wow. Now, that's definitely hard to sniff your nose at. You know what I mean?
Well, that stat doesn't seem quite right, because we lost Challenger due to a booster, an O-ring in the booster itself. It burned through the booster, and then it burned through the support mount, which slammed into the external tank, and we know what happened next.
Right, but we've had over 125 launches, and it was only that one disaster that we've had that was caused due to the hardware.
Well, that math works, doesn't it? over 99%. I guess I didn't, I didn't actually do the math as to how many launches we had.
125 minus 1 is 124. Okay, got it. I'm just giving you trouble.
Basically like 99.25% or something like that.
But, I mean, he's right. I mean, it's much more of a proven technology than pretty much anything else that we've done.
Hang on one second. Carbon has a question, so we'll bring him into the queue really quickly. Carbon, what's your question?
I didn't have a question, really. It was more about Challenger.
Okay, go
for it. That could have actually been easily avoided had they looked at the O-rings prior or past bringing back those SRBs. That's just my little soapbox, but...
Yeah, but they actually knew that in advance, didn't they? They knew that there was, the engineers...
They did. Right, they did, but they were pushing for, like that year, so they really just wanted to go fly, and that's not what they need to do with this. I mean, I'm sure they're going to take all the precautions and everything now that they're still using the same technology, but...
I agree to a point, but you know that's more political less than technology. They knew the thresholds of the technology. The guys who built it said you shouldn't fly, and then they flew anyhow. I mean that's the simplified version of the story.
Well, essentially human error.
It is, but
point.
The same thing could happen to Jupiter Direct as could happen to Constellation.
Right.
I mean it could happen anywhere there. So one of the advantages of Constellation is the Ares V, which is a massively freaking huge rocket. It is more powerful than the most powerful rocket humans have ever built, which is the Saturn V. It can lift more into low Earth orbit than anything else ever. So what does Jupiter, what Jupiter rocket competes with that? I mean, what are their configurations there that will be able to lift that much mass into, back to the moon, not into LEO, but back, go back to the moon? And the reason I ask that is we need to lift a lot of stuff because we're not just going... This isn't just the Apollo era again. We're going to stay, which means we need to lift a lot of heavy gear and move it to the moon. That's for Jeppeth.
Okay. The main goal with Direct was, as far as the engines and all that, is it's being a different configuration and using the more efficient design, using the four-segment boosters, maintaining the same design as the shuttle had. You're not changing anything. Your weight and balance is going to be off, of course, but you're not going to have the, it's fine if they have foam. And if the foam sheds or if ice builds up, it's not going to damage anything, and that's why they wanted to go with that as far as underground stuff. Going back to the original topic of why it's better than Ares and Ares 5, Ares 5 is underpowered. They're using the RS-68, which is, again, the Delta rocket that they use, the Delta rocket engine. Its thrust isn't as efficient as that of the main engines, the shuttle main engines. Also, the main engines are designed to fire from launch all the way through to engine cutoff, MECO. What happens there is, because it's already fine-tuned to be used, you can quote fine-tuned, they use it from liftoff all the way to MECO, whereas they use the J2X, which is the second stage, for the air start. there's not a guarantee that that's going to fire reliably.
But
on
Aries. You're saying Aries 5 is underpowered, but at the same time, it has the ability to lift the largest mass to Leo of any rocket we've ever built. I mean, that seems like it's, oh, I don't want to say overpowered, but it's got an insane amount of power. Are you just saying that it's underpowered at liftoff?
Well, Aries 5 is designed to carry 100 metric tons, and I don't like the metric system, but whatever. It's designed to carry 100 metric tons to low Earth or orbit. I'm not sure if it can go beyond that. I'm not sure. But the Jupiter 232 or 246, that can actually carry into low Earth orbit and beyond 150 metric tons.
That doesn't. I'm going to double check the numbers really quick. For some reason, I thought that someone fill in the gap time for me while I look this up. That I thought I could bring in like 200 something, but maybe that's I'm thinking of a different.
What are you looking for?
The amount of cargo that the Aries 5 rocket can lift into low Earth orbit.
Cargo. I see. Capacity, payload to Leo, 41,121 to 111,254 kg, or 90,655 to 220,746 pounds. Anything else?
Where'd you get that from?
Wiki.
Nah.
It says payload to Leo. That's what the capacity is.
Okay. I will believe that. That,
all right.
I thought it was 200 something actually for some reason, but that number seems god awful high.
90,000 to 220,000.
Oh, so its maximum is 220,000.
Plus 220,746 pounds. That's what I said.
Hmm. All right. But pounds are
metric tons are a little bit different.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. In this capacity it says kg and then it converted it to pounds. So that's like I said, it's wiki, so don't yell at me.
All right, well, we'll move on. I don't want to leave the awkward silence for
I like it.
For too long. You like it? We can just sit here in silence
ready
if you
go.
Want. All right, so why you mentioned why they haven't been going with the Jupiter Direct program, but Dr. Mike Griffin is no longer the NASA administrator. Are we too entrenched in Constellation at this point to back out of Ares? I mean, we've spent billions of dollars on Ares 1 and Ares 5 at this point. I mean, it doesn't seem like it would make sense to move forward with the direct program, but, you know, who knows what's going to happen? What's your opinion on that?
Aries 1 has been in R&D for the last about 2 years, maybe 2.5 years, something like that. And we are too deep into this project to switch over to Jupiter and still have a continuous flow. If we were to just stop all tooling right now, and go, okay, we're going to go with direct immediately, it would end up right now, instead of being 2015, which Aries isn't even going to accomplish that, but if we were to switch over right now and go to that, instead of being 2015, we would probably end up going fully manned, fully capable, non-beta testing with Jupiter as of about, I'd say 2016, so you'd still end up missing a year. But had they done it sooner, we would be in space, we would be fully functional with the Jupiter 120 model, the smaller version. We'd be up there by 2013, which would shrink the gap to only 3 years.
Well, yeah, but that's also assuming no additional issues. I mean, one of the things that's pushing Aries back is that they've got this oscillation issue and a couple other things that were not exactly anticipated from the beginning. It doesn't feel like this program has had enough work done on it quite yet to really hash out all of the details. The interesting thing about it is that it feels like a good chunk of engineers and scientists from NASA have been saying, you know, this constellation doesn't make sense. We really should be doing direct. Why are we not doing this? And they've been pretty vocal about it, but no one's really said anything. No one said, well, it won't work because of this, that, or the other things. I mean, what are the downfalls of direct? There have to be some.
I've asked that question a few times, and I've yet to get a good answer about it either. The only thing I can think is Mike Griffin and his followers want to see Aries go through. I don't have a better reason. I don't know.
I you know, because I sit here and I, you know, every product has its upside and its downside, and I'm sure that there's something not quite right with the Jupiter Direct program, but you know, maybe it's something minor, maybe it's something major. You know, I guess I get on my soapbox and I say both programs are wrong. The Aries is wrong. The Aries rocket is wrong. The Jupiter rocket is wrong. And we actually had this discussion with Chris last Friday about Chris from NASA Edge about you know, marketing this stuff. And people look at the space shuttle and they go, "Ooh, this is an awesome vehicle." When now we're going back to rockets, it's like we're taking a step backwards. It doesn't matter if you go Jupiter Direct or if you go Constellation, all of it feels like a step backwards. And I think what we'll do is we'll save that conversation for tomorrow's show, and we'll talk about the marketing of these rockets and why don't we have our space planes? I mean, whatever happened to, what is it, the X-33 and the next generation of space shuttles? Obviously, these weren't designed to go to the moon, but why do we just keep falling back on the same old technology? Where's the innovation and the inspiration to really push these vehicles forward? And can that innovation and inspiration come from NASA anymore? Are they able to take the same risks that they were able to take in the Apollo era? So, Jeppa, thank you for joining us and talking about Direct. When we come back tomorrow, we'll talk about, like I said, we'll talk about the innovation and inspiration in NASA and the next generation space vehicles that are and are not coming out of NASA versus the private industry and where all of that's going. You can join us live by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/spacevidcast, and we randomly go live with these podcasts. And we're doing this one live with audience participation on talkshoe.com. So definitely follow us on Twitter and you'll get updates to all of our fun live shows, including this one and the live video casts every Friday night at 2:00 a.m. coordinated universal time. I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk with you tomorrow.